Blog Talk Radio.
Consuming fire.
Burn it away. So, Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you what you're doing in the earth. We give you the praise and glory. Hallelujah to your holy name. We thank you, Father, even for the hiccups in life, for you are great and mighty and worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Truly you are a God of order, God of authority, God of might, God of wonders and delight. And so we welcome you this time that we have together. Lord, we know that there are going to be hiccups in life, but Lord, you have taught us to go on, to move on, and to continue in you. And that is what we're doing here tonight. And so, Father, Lord, I ask you to fill my mouth with your words. And even Minister Neal, just to touch her, Lord God, I know she has studied for it tonight, and her family, Lord, and just for all those, Lord God, that have a desire to walk in obedience to your word and to continue to follow after you. But you are the utmost. You are the highest of all things, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Well, again, I do apologize for the interruption that we're having here tonight, but Minister Neal, she will be with us next week all as well. We'll probably have to test before we start. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I've been calling you. Well, to God,
I was trying to call you. I'm not sure what happened. Yes, ma'am, I was here. I'd heard.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you're with us. Well, all right, well, Minister Neal, see, look what prayer will do. To God be the glory. Well, our subject tonight is order versus spiritual authority. Do you have a matter for us this evening, Minister Neal?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to turn it over to her since she's prepared. Thank you.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm glad that we were able to connect in fellowship tonight. I'm going to jump right in with thoughts on order versus spiritual authority. We talked a bit about spiritual authority last week, and Jesus was the ultimate example of order versus spiritual authority. He said in, let's go to John chapter 10, where, and this scripture has been quoted in the last couple of sessions, but John chapter 10, verse 18, no one can take my life from me. I lay down my life voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the right to lay it down when I want to, and also the power to take it again. For my Father has given me this command. In this, Jesus had the authority to do two things. Yet he chose to do what the Father purposed so that scripture would be fulfilled. And this was the order of salvation for all mankind. So Jesus is a good example. There is no spiritual authority above Jesus. So he was a great example of that. And then there's Joshua and Caleb, who were tribal leaders under Moses' instruction, who was, you know, appointed by God to free Israel from Egypt and, you know, took them through all kinds of battles and all types of trouble. And throughout the grumbling and the complaining of the people, Moses still had to follow the instruction of God. Mm-hmm. And in Numbers chapter 13, he chose, let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Throughout Numbers chapter 13, it talks about how Moses sent scouts or spies to explore Canaan, which was the promised land that God gave for Israel. That's where he wanted them to go when he freed them from Egypt. So he was taking them out of slavery and was taking them into a wonderful place. But they're grumbling and complaining along the way. You know, we all know that story. It delayed the process. But Moses commanded 12 tribal leaders, which included Caleb and Joshua, to go and scout out. Out of the 12, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that came back with the vision that God intended. And that was for them to see a promising future ahead. While the others looked at the giants in the land, they looked at the opposition. But God was trying to show them what he had for them. So when all of the spies came back, the other 10, they came back saying, we can't do this. We can't take this land. But Joshua and Caleb, they came back saying, yes, we can. And they tried to get the rest of the people to go along with that instead of the 10 that were trying to go against what Moses was saying and telling them, this is where we're headed. This is what we're going to do. And it ended up being that the 10 who came back with a vision and with a word other than what God intended, they ended up being struck dead because they came back with a report that was contrary to the instruction and the vision that God had given to Moses. And thereby, you know, they were going against God and causing others to rise up and rebel. But God said, not Caleb and Joshua, that, you know, the rest of them would not make it into the promised land, but not Caleb and Joshua because they were loyal to him. They were loyal and their hearts were right. Their spirits were right. And so I ask us tonight, what spirit are we operating in? Are we operating in the spirit that recognizes leadership when God puts it into place and falling into line with that order? You know, living a life based on the spirit and not the flesh will cause us to recognize and hear the spirit of God when he has placed leadership in place. So it's important that we stay in a place where we can hear what God is saying, because genuine spiritual authority will submit to God's chosen leader. It doesn't mean that we'll never be leaders, but the fact is there's an appointed time for that. There's an appointed time for that leadership to come to place, just like Joshua and Caleb. They were tribal leaders, but they recognized that Moses was the leader that God chose for this journey. And because they submitted themselves and put themselves possibly in harm's way, going into a land with just 12 of them, a land full of giants and looked like full of opposition, but they went anyway because they had that personal relationship with God and they knew that God had chosen Moses for this time. And because of that, they ended up doing what Moses was intended to do. Moses didn't make it, but they got into leadership after Moses died. You know, Numbers goes on to explain that. And they ended up in their old age, you know, leading, going into the promised land of Canaan. And it says, even though it tarried, even though it took them time to get there, God kept them. They were still strong to enjoy. But that's because they waited it out and because they were obedient and fell in line with the order of God and didn't look at who they were as leaders or where they thought they should be. And so I looked at the definition of order. And it says the arrangement or sequence of objects or of events in time. We see order from the beginning until the end of the word of God. When God created the earth, he did it in order. He chose certain days to create things. He had a sequence of how things were going to go. And just like with Jesus' life, there was a sequence. There was a time when Jesus was, you know, young, where he was raised up, and then there was a time that he went into the wilderness in Matthew, and then after that, his ministry started, and he began to gather the apostles together. So there was an order, and if those who God had placed had not stayed in their place, then basically God would have just had to find some other people. So I'm wondering, like, are we going to fall in line and do what God called us to do and be where God called us to be? Or is God going to have to go and find somebody else to do it? He's serious about the honor of those that he's put into place. Just like he his anger was kindled against Israel because all of the uprising against Moses, God has not changed. The Bible says that he's not changed. He's the same. He loves us, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't get angry. It doesn't mean that he does not in obedience and honor. So I just wanted to, you know, really take a good thought about where we are and how submitted we are. You know, do we have to exhibit the, well, God speaks to me too. Why, you know, why are they doing this or why are they doing that? And I can give an example. My mom was a pastor, and I remember probably the last few years before she passed, we had a spiritual father, and he had us fellowshipping all the time. I mean, it seemed like every Sunday we were in church for hours, and then afterwards he would have us all gather and bring food and spend time together. And in my mind, I'm like, why do we always have to do this? We have to get ready for work tomorrow. You know, we just sang and we just said we've been here for hours. I didn't know that maybe 2 months later he would be dead. And I'm saying that to say that in retrospect, I realized there was a reason that God placed it on him, because in that time that he fellowshiped with us, he poured a lot into us in that short amount of time that he had us together constantly. But God knew the other side of it. Apostle Fulgham didn't even know that he wouldn't be with us that much longer. But God knew. So that's just an example of how important it is to, if you trust that God has led you to a place, just submit and let God do what he wants to do in your life so that he can exalt you in due time and set you on the course that he has for you. And then you'll reap what you have put out, you know, the servitude and falling in line. Think about the apostles. They studied with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think too many people can get a bigger head than somebody who walked with Jesus personally. But they kept their lives in God's hands. They didn't go seeking crowns and seeking status. They lived their life even to laying it down, to having their heads cut off, to being jailed, you know. And so I was thinking about how, you know, even boxers and fighters and, you know, they coach under somebody. Somebody has to be over them to teach them. And it might come to a place where that boxer or fighter might get better than the coach and might be stronger, you know, as the coach gets older and ages. And they might be able to physically overpower them. But what would stop them? Honor, respect. So I just want us to think about that. How submitted are we? Let's check our hearts. Keep a heart of humility and just let God do what he wants to do in our lives. And that leads us into promise. There's no other way that we can get what God has for us than to submit and really hear him. And how can we say what somebody else should be doing when we've had a hard time hearing God for our own lives? You know, if I look at my own track record and the mistakes that I made and the U-turns that I had to make, I really just need to humble myself and just hear from God. And I'm so thankful for this season that I'm in, even learning more and really just letting God have his way. He's almost forcing me to do it, to really rely on him. And I'm grateful. So I'm just excited about what God is doing in this time, teaching about, you know, honor and obeying. And it's just a whole nother world that's opening up. And I'm excited. God bless you, our Pastor Paul.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much for that word. And I'm just going to just add on to that just briefly, and then we'll open our lines, or the Lord directs. Amen. Because of the subject matter coming up, it's interesting that when God gives us something to work on, we find that order becomes quite magnified around us. And we start noticing where there is disorder. We start seeing even disorder in our own personal lives, in our finances maybe, how we take care of our home, how we take care of the church. And so order is really a part of God's divine plan, even for the earth. You know, in Genesis, the first book of Genesis, you can see the order of God. In the beginning was the word. I mean, in the beginning, it talked about the Lord began, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm in John, the book of John. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was empty and formless. God in his divine, to me, he's like the greatest engineer, the greatest scholar. I mean, everything about him is so huge. He began things in order. The earth was without form and void. And yet in the order of God, he showed us in creation that everything had an order and he put it in place. And so when people talk about our universe and those that are scholars or scientists and they begin to look at our galaxies, they're baffled sometimes to wonder, how did these things all come in place? Well, I can tell you because of God's order. And anytime anything's out of order, it doesn't work. And it's quite obvious. So even when God made man, he started with order there, even so in the Garden of Eden. He created the land and the fruits and vegetables, and then he gave Adam the responsibility and authority over it. There was order even beginning in the Garden of Eden. And then where this order came was when Satan, or some call him Lucifer, came in and began to create a sub-lie, if you will, a false, I guess it's the first heresy, if you want to say it, that if God, you know, did God really say? And so when sin began, that's when disorder started. And so everything that we're going through today is because of disorder. But through the blood of Christ, he has taught us how to go back and walk in order. When I think about order and in regards to the superior order that God has given unto us, it is there for us to walk like Christ. That's how in the beginning, Adam walked with God. Why? Because there was order in the land, and there was order in the character of God walking with Adam in the cool of the day. But when there was separation, there was not that relationship anymore. And what I have found is in order, when I honor God in my obedience, I may not walk with him the cool of the day, but he's with me all the time. There's a relationship that is kindled. And because of it, it drives me and gives me a passion to serve him. There's so much controversy today when it comes to order. And if you look at our society today, you know, the lawlessness that we see is really sin. Everybody's, you know, it's like everybody's doing whatever they want to do, and evil is proceeding upon evil, and there's no order. It's complete chaos. Why? Because of lawlessness. But when you come under the Lord, you begin to see that his ways are always have to do with order. That's why they say order in the court, because it requires order for the court to establish what it is they're trying to do. And so the enemy also wanted to try to bring chaos even in the seed. So that's a whole other subject matter because I don't want to go there tonight. But order is so important to God. One of the reasons why you do not see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in particular ministries is because there is no order. What you see is confusion. Everyone's doing what they want to do, and there is no, though there may appear authority, there is really no authority in place. And so you see confusion, and it opens the door to demonic activity to bring greater disorder. Now you have in church folks fighting against each other rather than dealing with souls. Now you have folks fighting each other outside the church rather than dealing with souls. And there ain't no shame in it. I hate to use that word ain't, but they don't have no shame. A while back, I came across an editorial, I guess, from a newscaster where a pastor was being kicked out of the church because the board didn't want him there. It had nothing to do with soul. It had nothing to do with relationship with God. They didn't like the way he preached. And so they locked the church doors. Now, you can just imagine. I can just imagine what God is looking at when he looks at this thing. They locked the church doors, and he said he was still going to go into church. They blocked him, and then they punched him out. And this is on national television about the church. And that was a plot of the enemy to show confusion, because God was not in any of that. It was all flesh. And so the point I'm trying to make here is when flesh is on parade, when flesh is having its own way, you'll always find disorder. For those who have come to know the Lord and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, haven't you noticed that because you have given your life to him, that there seems that you're beginning to see order in your life? There's order, time of resting. There's order in giving. There's order in loving. I mean, all of these things that we do are all part of God's character, and it's a part of order. And when we walk in these areas, we then walk truly in our spiritual authority. That is why God put together the church. You know, as Paul went out there, he began to manifest the authority of God as he went and began to build church to church to church. And the Lord established the church to show his order. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so the church is an example of God's order. First, the apostles, and then the prophets, the pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Each one has his part, but there is still order in the house of God. And when one wants to try to take over the other, guess what we have? Disorder. And then the enemy starts to move in. Some folks says, I can't be around all that mess. I can't be around disorder because my life is already out of order. I need to go somewhere where there is order. And nothing worse than coming out of a lifestyle of disorder into the house where there also is disorder. And so many will say, I'm not staying here because my house is doing better than this. But in retrospect to all of this, God is a God of order. It doesn't matter if we like it or not. And I thank God for those boundaries so we don't go so far out and just get lost along the way. But God set boundaries in place for order for us so we know how far to go and how close to come in. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And that's why in the Bible it talks about when in regards to the hands and the feet, which is the bride of Christ, that the hand can't do what the foot does, nor can the head do what the hand does. More or less what it's saying is each part is responsible for a part of God's order in the church, and we need to stay on our side of the fence. God desires obedience to his will, and God's will is order. He brings a great demand upon it in his word. He stresses order. Even the Lord Jesus, before he died, called out to his dad and said, is there any other way? And so even through Christ, he taught us order in regards to even the cycle or even I guess you could use the word cycle, even the way that the Lord began the process, even before his death. He had certain things he had to do before he went to the cross, and he couldn't go before his time because it would have been what? Out of order. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So we must learn how to walk in order. And when we walk in the order and the will of God, guess what we walk in? Obedience. God loves us so much that he will not allow us to walk without parameters in place. I used to hate that as a child. Why are there so many rules in the Bible, I used to say? There's rules for this. Can I just have a life? Why must there be so many rules? Little did I know they were there to save me, to keep me within parameters so I wouldn't hurt myself. And now I come to love those areas that God has called. Obedience in the word of the Lord, it says in 1 Samuel 15, God talked about the Amalekites and how God ordered Saul to attack them and to destroy them. And in his victory, Saul actually came out of order when he did not do as God called him to do. He began to be devoted more to his line of order rather than God's order. And because of that, he lost his throne. So I want to encourage those that are in ministry, be careful. Be careful how far out you step, believing that you're in order of God when it's really your order. But when you walk in your order, you cannot walk truly in spiritual authority because you're walking in your own authority and you're walking in confusion and you're confusing others that want order amongst you, among those that are amongst you. Glory be to God. And so obedience is really more than sacrifice. And it's important that we learn to obey. Some people, when you hear the word obedience, they just cringe their teeth. Because like, oh my Lord, do I have to? Yes, you do. For it is for your good. For without order, we have lawlessness, we have confusion, and our flesh is on parade. Right now, if you look in the world that we live in, it looks like a very evil place. Why? Because the world does not want order in their life. They don't want order in sexuality. They don't want order in the laws of the land. They don't want order when it comes to the life of a human being. They want lawlessness in the sense of we do things our way and we'll be a law to ourselves. And anytime you're a law to yourself, guess what you have? Disobedience, lawlessness. Obedience and closure is really to honor God. And I heard Minister Neil say that. And only his will is preeminent here. His will, his ways are always perfect. And we must follow his way and his will in order for us to walk truly in our spiritual authority. So order versus spiritual authority, you need both. Though we have it as a subject matter, order versus, like there's an opposite end, there really isn't. Because without spiritual authority, you can't have order. And without order, you cannot have spiritual authority. And so this is my few words to share with you concerning spiritual authority and order. I have been working with so many other organizations in the last week or so, and I see where there is such a great cry out to help people that are voiceless. And I noticed that when organizations start coming together to be a voice for the voiceless, they recognize that they can't do it alone, and there needs to be order. A group of people needs order for them to be successful, even in what they are attempting to accomplish. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ. We all have our different gifts to the body of Christ. And if we come together as a word, I spoke about this, I think, last year, which is still in my spirit. If we come together and synchronize our anointings together, what great spiritual authority will we truly walk in? Because in that, we are submitting to one another as brothers and sisters, and we're walking in obedience to the manuscript and the way God called us to walk with him. And so I'm really excited for the days that are coming, though there will be some trouble ahead. But this is something that I know. You can put this in the bank. If you will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you'll be obedient to his word, you will find even in the days when there's trials and when there are temptations and when it seems like, oh, hell is breaking loose, you'll walk in peace knowing that you're in God's perfect will. There's something about that that nobody can take that from you. But it starts now for us to practice walking in that. Amen? Glory be to God. Well, I'm not sensing that we're going to open the lines today, so we're going to close just to the fact of some of the things that we've said. We want you just to sit and feed on this manna that the Lord gave us for you today. I want to thank Minister Neil, her husband, all those that come in and listen. If you have any suggestions and different topic subjects that you'd like us to speak on, please feel free to do so. We do need help in certain areas such as the media and television. Because we are now branching out in that area. And we also want to keep you aware that in the month of September 28 and 29 will be our yearly conference gathering. We are expecting a nice movement of the Holy Spirit because this is his ministry. But if you'd like to be involved as a volunteer, if you'd like to bring forth what you believe God is saying for the hour, please send that to us and we will begin to prepare for our yearly event. This is a prophetic visitation. Hallelujah. And our topic on our theme this year is forged in fire. To God be the glory. On this Saturday, we will be having our women's gathering for those that are a support group for sexual integrity. Yes, you heard it right. Sexual integrity. this is an area the Lord has spoken to me to touch on, because as though I mentor many, there are many that will come to me with a lot of questions concerning the bedroom. Husband and wives, what is agreeable, you know, is this agreeable or isn't it? Is her body really mine, or can only have a piece of it? And other topics that I will not discuss are open on the air. But this will be a closed group. So those that do come in, there will be privacy. And you can openly share some of your frustrations and a Q&A concerning anything dealing with sexual purity. God desires us to walk in sexual integrity. That's the word I should have used, sorry. Sexual integrity. And so we're calling it sexual integrity in action. Here's another area of order. God has called and given us a body to be his temple. He's also given us areas for pleasure. And when that's also out of order, you do not walk truly, fully in spiritual authority. Yes, you heard it right. God in his awesome, sometimes I can't find the word, that's why we speak in tongues, in his awesome ways, has created these vessels that can do the most magnificent things. But even our bodies has order. The way our heart pumps, the veins that are in our body, our nervous system, all has order. And whenever it is out of order, you cannot truly walk in your spiritual authority. So we're having this for women on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. For intercessors, we ask you to meet us at 3 because we definitely need your prayers. And then our last weekend of the month will be our prophetic weekend. So we welcome you to come. There will be more of the human trafficking awareness on that last Saturday as well. Following that, we'll be in Philadelphia. We will also be holding a session for men as well, dealing with sexual integrity in action. We have some guests that are coming in that have dealt with actually their own sexual abuse and how they're actually walking in sexual integrity today. Men that have been on both sides of the fence and now are married. And so they're coming with their own personal experience with a Q&A for you to ask them questions. How is it that they stay pure, and how is it that they feel that they can satisfy their wives, and et cetera? And so the list goes on. This is an important time to speak about this because the world right now is pushing everything that deals with sexuality. Even if you watch, if you really know, if you think about it, if you watch television and you watch a commercial, even cars are sexualized for you to buy it. Everything always has a sexual content in order for us to be stimulated to do something in order to get something that we really desire. And so we are going to be also dealing with those subject matters. But we will be also holding an event for men only so they can come in and have the freedom to speak their heart and even areas where they may not be feeling where they can openly talk about it before women. And so I will be hosting that as well with guest speakers that will be coming in to minister just to the men. And more will come about with that. And so I'm going to ask Minister Neal to close us with prayer. And I thank each one of you for supporting Eagles of Fire. And please continue to go to our website, eaglesoffire.org. And if God put something on your heart to bless the ministry, we would love for you to do that. We do not ask for finances or donations, but the Lord places it on your heart. We would welcome that as well. Amen. All right, Minister Neal, if you could close us out in prayer, it would be a blessing.
Hallelujah. God, we thank you so much just for being who you are. We thank you, Father God, for just being sovereign and loving at the same time. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you for just your presence on tonight, Father God. We thank you for your word that guides and instructs and corrects and just everything that we need that's built into it. I pray that every heart that is on this line, Father God, be just encouraged and comforted and energized, Father God, and drawn closer to you, Father God, that we might go out and exalt you and lift you up, that you might draw men unto you, Father God. So we just thank you for your commission in our lives. We thank you that you give us purpose, And we just pray that your purpose will be revealed and fulfilled even more in our lives as we just submit to your love and to your desire to be Lord over our lives. And we just pray that you could just continue to bless everyone on this line and bless Apostle Blossom as she continues to do what you've called her to do, Father God, and Eagles of Fire and all of those connected and all of those that will be connected. And I just pray that everyone has a restful night tonight, waking up tomorrow, ready to just go forth in who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Well, thanks to everybody that came out tonight. Please tell someone about Eagles of Fire Blog Radio. As the Lord leads, we will do press for tree, but that's not what the Lord wants us to do tonight. There will be times that the Lord wants to speak from his heart, and he just wants you to just receive and just meditate upon that word. And so please keep us in your prayers. We have a lot going on Eagles of Fire. We welcome your support and also your prayers. Until next time, may God bless you. Until next time. Next time I will be on the 25th, and it will be delegated authority versus spiritual authority. God bless you. Good night.